Welcome in, everyone. Ready to do some more historical digging? Today, we're diving deep into the medieval world with a family from York, the Farndales. And we've got the good stuff, too, not just names and dates. We're talking wills, debts, even a bit of medieval combat.
Always a good way to spice things up.
Right. It's amazing how these little details bring the past to life. It reminds us that these were real people, just like us, dealing with everyday challenges and triumphs, but their everyday was 14th century York. So, to kick things off, let's meet our first Farndale.
Johannes.
Yeah, Johan de Farndale. Quite the character.
Oh, tuta.
Well, sometime around 1336, Johannes decided city life was for him. He packed up, left his rural life in Rosedale, and headed to York to become a saddler. Big change.
I can imagine. Trading fields for workshops. That's been quite the adjustment.
And speaking of adjustments, he needed some capital to get started. The records show that Johan received a pretty hefty loan from a chaplain to set up shop.
A chaplain. It's a bit unusual, isn't it? I mean, considering the church's stance on usury and all that. Exactly. It makes you wonder about the dynamics at play, doesn't it? Was this a case of the chaplain turning a blind eye to the rules? Or maybe were there some loopholes they found? Perhaps some creative financing we haven't uncovered. Fascinating stuff.
It really is. But whatever the arrangement, it seems to have worked out for Johan. He did pretty well for himself.
He did indeed. By 1363, he'd earned himself a pretty prestigious title. Freeman of York.
Okay, now I know freeman gets thrown around a lot when we talk medieval history, but for those of us who need a little refresher, what did that actually mean for Johan and his place in York?
Ah, good point. It's easy to gloss over these terms. Basically, becoming a freeman meant that Johan earned the right to work independently in his trade. No more restrictions or fees. He could open up his own workshop, take on apprentices. He was a real player in York's economy.
Wow, talk about moving up in the world.
Right, and this wasn't just a personal achievement. This status, this membership in the guild system, it offered a level of security and influence that you just didn't have otherwise. It was a big deal, and it gets even more interesting because this freeman status, well, it passed down to his son, also named Johannes.
So the Farndales were building a legacy. From countryside to skilled craftsmen, they were making their mark.
They were indeed. But get this, the next generation, well, let's just say, they weren't content with just saddles and leather work. This generation brings a bit of, shall we say, action to the family story.
I do love a good plot twist. Who are we talking about?
John, Henry, and William Farndale. These guys heard the call of duty, the thrill of battle. In 1389, they joined the wars in Scotland, fighting alongside none other than Thomas Mowbray.
Mowbray. Wasn't he from a pretty powerful family?
You know your history, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Mowbray, a member of a prominent landowning family. To be fighting alongside him, it tells us something.
That the Farndales were a force to be reckoned with.
Maybe. But it also challenges our assumptions, doesn't it? It seems even back then, taking up arms could be a way to climb the social ladder, even for a family of craftsmen.
So after a taste of the battlefield, what about John? Did he stay in the fray? Maybe not. I mean, saddle making is dangerous, but I imagine fighting in Scotland is a bit more, shall we say, intense.
You could say that again. But it seems John, at least, decided to find a different kind of excitement, a different kind of sharp tool.
Don't tell me. He became a butcher.
A butcher.
Okay, so we've gone from horses to cows. I like it.
He found success there, too.
Yeah.
Became a freeman in 1408, this time as a butcher.
Imagine that. From battlefield to butcher shop. And if we're talking butchers in York, we got to talk about the shambles, right? I mean, what's a deep dive into medieval York without a mental scroll through those streets?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Narrow, winding streets. Those incredible timber-framed buildings.
Leaning in toward each other, almost touching at the top.
Exactly. Can't you just imagine it?
Yeah.
The sights, the smells.
The sounds. It must have been quite an experience. But our Farndale story, it doesn't end with the scent of fresh meat. A few generations later, a few miles outside of York, things take another turn.
A turn toward a bit of mystery, you might say. And this mystery, it leads us to a woman named Alice Farndale.
Alice Farndale. Okay, and what do we know about Alice?
Well, we know her story thanks to a fascinating document, her will. Now, we don't know for sure if she was a direct descendant of our York Farndales. It's possible there's a marriage connection somewhere in there, or maybe a more distant branch of the family. It's something historians are still piecing together.
Ah, so real genealogical puzzle. But there's definitely a link there, even if we don't have all the pieces yet.
Exactly. And it's these kinds of puzzles that make historical research so exciting, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. So let's talk about this, Will. What kind of clues does it give us? What kind of story does it tell?
Well, it's full of intriguing details. Like, for instance, she leaves specific bequests to her mother, Agnes, her sister, also named Isabel, even a green kirtle to a Janet Brighton. And get this, there's mention of a calf.
A calf, huh? Seems like these Farndales really couldn't get enough of their livestock. What's the significance of the calf?
Well, this calf was left to Alice's brother, John Pratt. And John, he emerges as a pretty central figure in all of this.
How so?
He was named guardian to Alice's children, Simon and Isabel Farndale.
Wait a minute, Simon and Isabel, those names ring a bell. Could there be a connection back to our earlier Farndales? The plot thickens.
Right, it really makes you wonder. But there's something even more curious in this, Will. Remember how we were talking about John Pratt being named guardian to Simon and Isabel?
Yeah, and the calf he was supposed to get?
Right, well, there's a stipulation. The will says that if Simon and Isabel were to die before reaching adulthood, John Pratt had to give a cow to two individuals, John Lonsdale and Lawrence.
Whoa, hold on. What? So if the kids die, he has to give up a cow. I mean, I get that livestock was valuable, but that just seems harsh. Who were these John Lonsdale and Lawrence anyway? Why were they entitled to a cow?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Who were these mysterious figures, and what was their connection to the Farndale family? And why a cow? And a specific cow at that. Was it the same calf? All grown up. We're left with more questions than answers.
It's like we've stumbled onto a real medieval mystery.
Medieval mystery indeed. And trust me, when you deal with these old documents, you come to crave those answers. Did those kids, Simon and Isabel, did they make it to adulthood? Did poor John Pratt ever have to part with his cow? We may never know.
Talk about a cliffhanger. It really makes you think, though. I mean, here we are, centuries later, still captivated by the story of this one family.
It's the power of personal stories, isn't it? They connect us to the past in a way that battles and coronations just can't.
Absolutely. We started with a saddler named Johannes, followed his family through wars, butcher shops, wills, guardianships, and a cow. Who could have predicted that?
And that's the thing about history. It's full of surprises. And it reminds us that medieval society, it wasn't some static, unchanging thing.
Yeah.
The Farndales, they show us that.
They really do. We see Johannes moving from the countryside, building a successful career, his grandson fighting in Scotland alongside a nobleman.
Social mobility, ambition, family ties.
Uh-huh.
All playing out against the backdrop of, let's face it, some pretty tumultuous times.
That's what I love about these deep dives. It's like, we get the human side of history. While the Hundred Years' War rages on, here are the Farndales, living their lives, running their businesses, making their way in the world.
It gives us a whole new perspective, doesn't it? Uh-huh. These personal stories, they add a level of detail or richness that you just don't get from a king's decree or a battlefield report.
So as we wrap up our time with the Farndales, what are we left with? What can their story tell us about life in medieval York, about the challenges and opportunities of the time?
Well, for one, it reminds us that history is about people, everyday people. It's about families like the Farndales who navigated those times, who built lives for themselves, who left their mark, even if it's just a name in a will or a debt recorded in a ledger.
And we're left to wonder, what else is out there? What other stories are hidden in those archives just waiting to be uncovered? Maybe someone listening right now, they hold the key to the next chapter in the Farndale saga.
Wouldn't that be something? And that's the beauty of it all, isn't it? There's always more to discover. Yeah. So next time you think about the medieval period, don't just picture castles and knights. Remember the Farndales, the saddlers, the soldiers, the butchers, and yes, even the cow.
It's a reminder that history, it's happening all around us. In the streets we walk, the names we inherit, the stories we pass down. So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and who knows? Maybe you'll uncover a piece of the past that changed how we see the present. Until next time, happy digging.